Morning.
I'm not Adrian. I am Pastor Matthew. If it's your first time here, we're glad you're here. You've chosen to worship with us today. It's my privilege to be the lead pastor here. Somebody asked me last hour if I still preached, and yes, I do. I'll actually be jumping back in, and you'll have about 8 weeks of me, and you'll be tired of me and want me to take another break, but I'll continue actually in the I Am series next Sunday morning. And but man, today we're privileged to have Adrian with us. He's been a friend of mine. He actually discipled me when I was in high school and then through college, and we would hang out. Then we've done some ministry together over the years, and he about got me arrested one time in Tennessee after a Tennessee-South Carolina football game because he jaywalked and then yelled at a police officer because the Carolina Gamecocks had been robbed that night of a game. All right, and that is the truth, and this is online, so let's welcome all of those real quick. Can we do that? That are joining us online. Forgot about that. Whoops. Now that is public knowledge. So would you help me and give a huge, huge river welcome to Mr. Adrian Dupre. Come on.
What a gift from God to me to be in Matthew Trexler's church, The River. All of his family over here. What a gift from God. Okay, listen. My name's Adrian. By the way, give it up for the worship team. That was so good. So good. Great job. I want to be like Matthew when he says, come on. Y'all hear him say that? Come on. He's got a little tune, too, when he said, come on. Man, you're so awesome. Awesome. Okay, listen. My name's Adrian, but my wife's name's Lisa. How many of you guys have been here this weekend? My name's Adrian, but my wife's name's Lisa. She's 5'4", comes up about right here. She has blonde hair and blue eyes, and she is a righteous fox. Cha-ching. Now, just in case you don't know what that means my wife is godly and beautiful. If you're a married man out there and you're not bragging about your wife, something's horribly, dreadfully wrong with you. You're half a man. It's time for you to man up and brag about your wife. Now, let me explain some why. Because there's some young dudes here. What's up? Can I show you their faces? Okay, so some young dudes here who need to know that when they get married 1,500 years from now, they should be bragging about their wives. So let's coach them up. I want all the married men to stand up. Take your time, hurry up. Take your time, hurry up. Let's go. All the married. Do we have anybody engaged? Anybody engaged? Stand up, raise your hand if you're engaged. I want to see some engaged people. Anybody engaged? Raise your hand. Nobody engaged in the whole. All the married men stand up. We're going to have a little competition now. Whoever's the loudest gets a free book off my table. No, wait a minute, no. All right, you gotta wait till I say go. When I say go, you get to brag about your wives out loud for 10 seconds. Don't stop at second six. Don't be going, don't say she's a good cook. You're killing me, Smalls. Throw me a bone here. So when I say go, you got 10 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Show these young guys it's possible. I need somebody who's big in here. Where are you? Okay. Get scared. Come on, Wyatt. Give me a little pop. It's possible for you to, 53 back there. Give me a little pop right there. Okay, listen. It's possible for you to be a man and love your wife. It's not some sissy face thing. I think we're sissies if we don't brag about our wives. So you got 10 seconds on your marks. You know the rules. Whoever's the loudest gets a free book. Get set. Go. Sit down. All right, that's good. Give me some more mic. All right, can you give me a little more mic? Okay, listen, whoever that dude is back there, I can't see. Free book. Okay, this guy right here, free book. I saw some guys over here. Who was some guys over here? Who was loud over here? Someone point to him. Your point to your husband? Yes, free book because your wife pointed to you. Don't you go. Okay, all right, get your Bibles out. We're going to be in the book of John. Take your time. Hurry up. Let's go. John chapter 2. Do I talk too fast?
Yes.
All the kids are going, no. The adults are going, right, let's go. I'm going to go fast through this. Let's get after it. Listen, I'm going to give you, this is one of the most exciting messages in my life. I'm going to give you the only place in the entire Bible where the definition of the word believe is given. If you believe like I'm going to demonstrate, you will spend eternity in heaven. If you don't, you won't. It has nothing to do with how much you go to church. It has everything to do with the word believe. I think the definition of the word believe has changed in time. I think people are believing up here, but not in here. And I'm going to show you the only place in the entire Bible where the definition of the word believe is given. We're going to get after it. Let me explain something to you right now. I can't wait to preach this message to you. Please man up, or whoa, man up. You know what I'm saying? That's what Adam said when he woke up. Whoa, man, in Hebrew, Greek lexicon, dispensationalist. And so, Trexler's just sitting right there. I love you, man. All right, we're going to be in John chapter 2. Watch in John chapter 2, verse 23. It says, many people saw when Jesus was at the Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. Same exact Greek word in John chapter 3, verse 16. One of the most dangerous verses in the entire Bible is John 3, 16. A lot of people do not know the definition of the word believe. Billy Graham believes there's as many as 70% of people go to church today who don't know Jesus personally. 70%. Another guy that I know who prayed 8 hours a day thinks it's as many as 80%. Do you really know the definition of the word believe? Words have changed all throughout time. We had this guy on our football team who could bench press 535 pounds. He ran through the center one time, grabs a quarterback. I think it was Levi, I don't know. But he grabs a quarterback with one arm and slams him on the ground. I was still in my stance. I got up and said, yeah, you mess with us, you mess with Phil. He was a monster. His nickname was Big Nasty. See, words change. Nasty used to mean nasty, but that didn't mean like, cool, what's up, dog? I ain't making no noise. I don't even know what those things mean. So I'm just saying, welcome to Moe's. So my point here is that words change all throughout time. That's what scares me about John 3:16. I'm afraid people have believed the wrong way, and I think people in this room have believed the wrong way, and it's dangerous. I want all of us in heaven. The Lord God Almighty wants all men and women in heaven. Yeah. He doesn't want anyone in hell. Hell was not created for people. It's created for the devil and his demons. But people are going there because they choose not to believe. Let's define it once and for all. These people believed, it says, because they saw the miraculous signs that Jesus was doing. In the next verse, Jesus says, it says, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew what was in a man. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. See, these people believed up here, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them. You know what happens when somebody truly believes? Christ comes and lives inside of you. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians 1, 26 and 27. So Christ is in the person, so Jesus entrusts himself to us when we truly believe. These people, it says, Jesus did not entrust himself to them. That means there's two different definitions for the word believe in the Bible. Let's make sure we have it all clear right now. John chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. A guy named Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. We don't know why he came at night. Maybe he's busy all day. Maybe he's afraid of what other people thought about him because he's a Pharisee, has the Bible pretty much memorized, the Old Testament memorized. Brilliant guy. Comes to Jesus at night and says, we know you're from heaven because you couldn't do the things you're doing unless you're from heaven. So he's a John 2, 23 to 26 guy. We believe in the miracles, but they believed up here, but not in here. Jesus says to him, you have to be born again. What in the world does that mean? Seriously? When I first read that, I went, seriously? What? How many of you men were in the room? Raise your hand. If you were in the room when your wives gave birth, raise your hand. If you were in the room, was that not the most intense thing you've ever seen in your entire life? Praise Jesus, I'm not a woman. Women are so much tougher than us guys. I'm sorry, you guys. Praise God. Okay, yeah. Some lady over there said amen. Okay, so I'm just saying, it was intense. My wife's a tough lady. She was raised on a farm. She bowls overhand. I mean, she's a tough lady. You know what I'm saying? She's just tough. And so she said she wanted to go natural. I didn't know what that meant. I thought it was a baseball movie, pretty good show. And she's hooked up to that seismograph for our first child. We have four kids. She's hooked up to that seismograph thing that's measuring her earthquakes. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like Patrick on SpongeBob. I used to make my kids watch SpongeBob for educational reasons, you know. Shiny score. I was watching the needle. The higher the needle goes, the louder she would scream. It wasn't like I was enjoying that. Come on, Nicole. I wasn't enjoying it. I was just watching it. And she would come back down. And I knew when to do the cleansing breath and stuff like that. But then the next earthquake she had, the next contraction, contraction, what, the next thing she had. Did I just say contradiction? Unsportsmanlike, yellow card. Okay, so the next one she had the needle goes ka-kump, straight to the top, like no gradual. Poof, the needle goes straight to the top. I'd never given birth before. This is our first child. Wait a minute. I didn't say that right, but you know what I'm saying. So I'm sitting there. I just said the first thing that came to my mind. Lisa, that's a big one. My godly, holy, righteous wife, holy wife, she said, shut up! She's screaming at the top of her lungs, eyeballs about to pop out of her head, vein on her head, you can walk the town and back on. She's squeezing my hand. Remember, she's strong. She's squeezing my hand, and this knuckle right here goes, she dislocates the knuckle in my hand. And my hand swells up to a balloon, and I'm going, at the same time. Midwife weighs about $125, you know what I'm saying? She comes over and starts shaking me. Why don't you just shut up? I'm going, it's the most intense thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And when my daughter was born, it wasn't like she was cute. That may have been the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm sorry. If you were born naturally, you were an ugly baby. Oh, that baby's so cute. That baby has Google. She had a cone head. I thought they're gonna paint her orange and put her on the middle of the street so cars would go around her. I mean, it was nasty. It was nasty. And I don't mean to be inappropriate. But when my wife's water broke, it was the most intense thing I've ever seen in my life. I thought my daughter was gonna come out surfing. No. They asked me to cut the cord. I said, I might get a finger. I mean, it was nasty. It was intense. I don't know if you were there when you were born, but wait a minute, that's not right either. But that's completely wrong, okay. Listen, as intense as being born is, can I get an amen from any of the ladies out there who have given birth? You know what I'm saying? Amen, okay. Amen, the buses will wait. Because watch it. As intense as being born is, that's how intense being born again is supposed to be. It's supposed to be intense. And people have made it out to be this ritual thing where we come down to the front, we pray to receive Christ, and it's not, Jesus said you have to be born again. John said, Nicodemus said right there, how can a man be born when he's old? Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? She said, no, flesh gives birth to flesh. You've been born of water. No. You need to be born of the Spirit. As intense as being born is. Ladies, moms, please help me here. Was it intense or not?
Yes.
Did you hear her? I don't know who you are, but you went, yes. And even when we're looking a little bit mad at me, I'm going, okay, I'm on your team. Okay, so watch this. So I'm just saying, it's intense. That's how intense being saved is supposed to be. And we've made it out to be a little ritual in our country. We've made it out to be something. So Jesus tells this guy, drops what I call the gospel bomb on Nicodemus. He would have had the Bible memorized. We've got to get it in Nicodemus's mind so he can understand the word believe, because Nicodemus's mind is going to tell us the word believe. You remember, Nicodemus would have had the Old Testament memorized. So Jesus says to him, the gospel bomb, if anybody in the room has John, this next verse memorized, you get a free resource off my table. Ready? John chapter 3, verse 14. Anybody know it by heart? Anybody? Right, just after you don't have to quote it, just raise your hand if you know it by heart. Nobody this year, I've been preaching this, you know it. Somebody said, you cheat. That's funny. He's heard me preach this. Okay, so John 3, 14, one guy, the pastor. Does he like float around here? We're on a clock. Keep going. Okay. Listen. Okay. I forgot where I was. Squirrel. Something just distracted me. 14. Where was I? 14. John 3:14. Okay. I knew that. I was just checking to see if you knew. Okay. So John 3:14 says this. He's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he says to him, just as. Now, this is the only place in the entire Bible where the definition of where belief is given is verse 14. The only place in the entire Bible. Just as, I took freshman English as a fifth year senior in college, so I think it's a simile, but I don't know what that means. Just as, equal sign, simile, just as Moses. Nicodemus is going, he's been teaching Moses for the last 6 weeks, the I am messages. Those are Moses stuff. He's been teaching Moses as I am for the last 6 weeks. Actually, he's been on vacation for about a year and a half, so I don't know. Okay, so By the way, you guys take care of the pastor and his wife and kids. You know what I'm saying? Take care. Bless them. Punch them in the face with your love. You know what I'm saying? So Moses hears this, just as Moses, or Nicodemus hears this, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. Nicodemus says, I know that passage. He's memorized it. Anybody know where it's at in the Bible? Anybody know the book it's in the Bible? Okay, you don't? Let me show you your faces. It's in Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. The Israelites, turn to your Bibles if you got your Bibles. The Numbers 21, take your time, hurry up. Let's go, hurry up, take your time. Numbers 21. The Israelites have been in the desert now for 38 years. Anybody know how long they're going to be in the desert? Come on, guys, stay with me. How long are they going to be 40 in the desert? They're 38 years in the desert. Got two more years. They've had 10 different plagues against them in the desert because they disobeyed God. And they had 10 plagues in Egypt. That wasn't against them, but against the Egyptians. And 10 plagues against them in the desert. This is the 11th plague against them. They traveled around Mount Or, it says in chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. They traveled around Mount Or to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses. They said, Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water. We detest this miserable food. Anybody know the name of the miserable food? Manna. Anybody know what manna means in Hebrew? Who said it? Somebody said it over here. Who said, what is it? Yes, free resource. What is literally manna means what is it? Okay, you don't get it. Imagine my wife cooking all day long, throwing her soul into the groceries. I walk in. Why do we scratch? I don't know. But I'm walking out. I lift up the lid of the food. I go, Lisa, manna, which means what is that? Ladies. I'd be wearing it. That's what it is. You could have all of it you want. I mean, no, she wouldn't do that. I'm just kidding. How you doing over here, Nicole? Everything going okay? So I'm just saying, my wife's a tough lady. She said, I can't blame the Israelites for complaining about the manna, though. They've been complaining. They had manna mush for breakfast for 38 straight years. They had manna burgers, manna jam sandwiches. They kept all of it in their manna refrigerator. But manna bread for dessert? Manna cotti? Okay, watch this now. I'm a grandfather now, so I have to have the stupid jokes. Okay, so that because they turned inward, God chose the Israelite nation to be a light to the world. He wanted them to be a light to this people group and this people group and this people group. When they turned inward, they could not be a light. So the Lord says in verse 6, the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. The snakes bit the people. Many Israelites died. How many of you guys are afraid of snakes? Raise your hand, afraid of snakes. I had a lady come up to me after the first service and say, I couldn't look at what I'm going to show you here in a second. She had the whole time. My wife is terrified of snakes. Terrified of snakes. Like, horrified of them. My favorite place to go in the zoo is called the Ark, where it houses all the reptilia. She has her hand on the back of my arm. I took them out like that right there. And I said, look at this eastern diamond back over here. Awesome snakes. She said, no. Look at this water moccasin. Awesome snakes. She said, no. And she squeezed a little harder every time she said, no. I mean, I don't know why. Why do us guys, why do we, you know what I'm saying? Why do we flex when a lady's talking? Because we got a little something, something. So she's holding my arm. We come around the corner. I see this snake that looks just like tree branches. I see seven of them. I bet you can't find seven. She's very competitive. Comes around the corner of my arm. She says, no, there's eight. And I get down to 5-4. There's one hit up there. That's not fair. We come around the corner. I see my first ever. I've always wanted to see one of these. They're called a sand viper. This thing was 5 feet long, 4 to 5 to 6 inches thick, looked like it swallowed a goat, and it's sitting right there, and it was kind of chilling out because it just ate, right up against the glass. When I saw it, I went, go! It scared me. Put the picture up there. I want to show you all a picture of a sand viper. Is that not the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life? That might be the coolest. It's like a Satan, evil snake. Now, y'all need to know, well, maybe you don't need to know, but let me tell you, 2 weeks later, the snake in that zoo there struck the glass many times trying to get at people and it died. I'm sorry. I should not rejoice in that, but thank you, man. They're like a moccasin. You know, anybody ever been fishing and a snake tried to get in your boat? That's the same nature as the sand viper. Now, there's two different types of, this is the snake that God probably used in the desert there, was a sand viper. because there's thousands of them in the desert, according to the soldier I met from the southern Saudi Arabian thing. They said there's thousands of snakes in there. And so this snake right here, there's two different types of snake bite. One type paralyzes you. The other type will affect your blood, cause the red blood cells to get elongated. Make a long story short, what happens is your organs fill up with blood, the liquid part of it, because the capillaries are so small that the little blood cells that get ripped open at the ends won't go through them. And so the organs fill up with blood, and they explode inside of you, and blood comes out of your nose, out of your mouth, out of your ears, out of your eyes, out of all the open orifices of your body. And it's a nasty, violent way to die. You die from what's called internal hemorrhaging. It takes about 10 hours. It's a violent way to die. One of my daughter and her best friend were running through a backyard. She said, "Ow, I think I was stung by a bee." I looked at it. There's two hole marks. I'd stayed at a Holiday Inn Express the night before, so I knew how to take care of it. And so the problem was her leg was fine. But we rushed to the hospital just in case, and her leg swelled up eventually to the size of an elephant leg, and she almost died. And it's a nasty, violent way to die, nasty and violent. Now, you need to know the reason why I'm telling this, because I want you to get into the mind of Nicodemus to figure out what the definition of the word believe is. You've got to know this part of the story to know what believe means, all right? You with me so far? So Nicodemus sees these snakes. I mean, the Israelites in the desert see these snakes. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. Then for the first time ever, in verse 7, I believe it is, the Israelites came to Moses, and they said, "Moses, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. We're no longer worthy to be." He said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you." That's the first time in 38 years that the Israelites ever said that. They'd never said that before. Every time before, they said, "We sinned when we spoke against you, Moses." This is the first time they realized their sins were against God. Why is that significant? Because the word salvation, the concept of salvation, is like a coin. The tail side of the coin is the word repent. The head side of the coin is the word believe, trust, surrender. So the tail side is repent. You have to repent. It says in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Jesus came to repent. All the great guys in the scriptures preached on repentance. What does the word repentance mean? It means you're walking this direction in sin. You realize you have a change of mind about it. You don't like it. You don't want it anymore. You're sick of the sin. You want to turn from that, turn towards God. What causes that? It says in 2 Corinthians 7:10 that godly sorrow. Listen carefully. This is the key. This is what's keeping people from truly being saved. Godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation, leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow leads to death. Well, what is the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow? Godly sorrow is you realize your sins have hurt God. I walked into my room drunk the first day of 2 days in college football, and my roommate jumps up and gives me this big hug. I thought that was weird, but he's an all-state linebacker from Tennessee, so I couldn't get him off me. Finally, he lets me go. I jump up in the bed. He goes back to his desk at 2:30 in the morning, starts reading something. So I sober up a little bit. "Hey, man, what you reading there, buddy? Want to pick on him?" He looks at me with this big smile, says, "I'm reading the Bible." Have you ever seen somebody smiling reading the Bible, like ever? Use this. I mean, this guy was smiling at 2:30 in the morning, 3 weeks before school starts. I sat there in bed for the first time in my life. I don't know how to explain it to you other than just saying it. For the first time in my life, I sat there. Tears were flooding out of my eyes. And for the first time ever, I saw my sins crushing the heart of Jesus. I saw it. I felt it. I saw me lying to my mom the week before about smoking marijuana. "You don't smoke marijuana, do you, son?" "No, Mom, there's a reason why they call it dope, you know. I was high, lying to her face. I saw it crushing her heart, and I saw it crushing the heart of Jesus. And I broke. I said, "Lord," I started confessing my sins, 31 sins that night. I wrote them all down the next day. I said, "Lord, I'm sorry about that." I had what's called godly sorrow. I realized for the first time ever, my sins hurt God, and it changed everything. A month later, I started preaching. I went from drinking and doing drugs and fighting in bars to preaching a month later because I had what's called godly sorrow. That's what the Israelites have. The Israelites have godly sorrow. So they said to Moses, "Moses, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Until you've had godly sorrow, you've never truly been saved." Because godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow leads to death. Worldly sorrow is, "I'm sorry I got caught." Godly sorrow is, "I'm sorry I hurt God, hurt my family, hurt my friends, but God more important." So the Israelites, that's what happens. So God says, Moses says to God, "They're sorry, what do we do?" God says, now watch this is so important. God says, Moses, make a snake out of bronze, put it up on a pole. Do we have any doctors, nurses, ambulance people, medical field people? Raise your hand, medical field people. You know that little snake on a pole thing? It comes from this passage. It's called Nehush. Oh, you've got it on your shirt. It's called Nehushtan. Now you can use it for worthless trivia. Okay, so Nehushtan from the Old Testament. So God says, make a snake out of bronze, put it up on a pole. Then whenever someone's bitten by a snake, all they have to do is look at the snake on a pole and they'll get healed. Time out. Time out. I'm sorry, that seems a little silly to me. I'm not going to tell God that, but it seems that way to me. I mean, God's brilliant, don't get me wrong. You understand what I'm saying? God, why don't you just take the snakes away from us? Right? He didn't take the snakes away because he knew you'd be in this room tonight. This morning, sorry, it feels like night because it's dark in here. I've never said that before. That's the first time I've ever said that. That was good. Good catch. Okay, so watch this now. So God, he knew you'd be in here. The only place in the entire Bible the definition of the word believe is given is right here. He knew that you needed to have the definition of the word believe. Now listen, don't be prideful about the way you believe. Be humble about it. If you don't believe like this, then you need to this morning. Period. Let's make it simple here. So the Israelites say, Moses, we're sorry, what do we do? God says, make a snake out of bronze, put it up on a pole. Go ahead and put that next picture on the screen. It may have looked something like this. Little snake on a pole. And the pole was 20 meters high. It was a military staff in the Hebrew to call the soldiers in from. There's three to 3.5 million Israelites, three quarters of the size of the state of Rhode Island, a huge campground. Whenever someone's bitten by a snake, all they have to do is look at the snake on a pole and they get healed. So how did they look at it? Were they bored with it? Oh, this is boring. Now, when they look at the snake upon, definition of word believe, here it is right here. It's this right here. It's, that's too slow. Come on. It's, I actually cracked my pen. I feel good. I've been wanting to do it. Chiropractor, help me out. So watch this. The definition of word believe is the passion you have in your soul to look at the snake on a pole to get healed from a snake bite that you're going to die from. The passion you have, if there's a big tent in front of me and I can't see over and they're all sewn together, then I would do something like this. I pulled my legs up so it looks like I jump higher. Leave me alone. I'm just saying, this right here, I know it looks a little bit weird, but I don't care if it looks weird. This is, that's the definition of the word believe. The passion that I have to see that defensive line for the Colts, faces all stuck in their helmets, hate me. Could they stop me from looking at the snake on a pole if I was bitten by a snake and that was the only chance I had? Nope. I would chew my way through them. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the definition of word belief. Not everybody, now listen, not everybody can see the snake on a pole. Some people are 20 miles away. If you were 20 miles away and you got healed from a snake bite, would you bring your friend to see the snake on a pole? Yes or no? Quick. Would you bring your enemies? Yes or no? Quick. They wouldn't be enemies anymore. I think that's what our country needs. Bring your enemies to see the snake on a pole. You got it? Would that be weird to carry them? Go, come on! Would you build a lean-to, drag them 20 miles through the mountain areas? 85,000 fans on Saturday afternoon, desperately in need of exercise. 22 players desperately in need of rest. The church. 95% of people go to church today have never led someone else to Christ. 97% do not consistently talk about Jesus to anybody. All right, let's bring this home. John chapter 3, take your time, hurry up. John chapter 3, let's bring it home. John chapter 3, every one of us are going to die in this room. One out of every one are going to die. One of us is going to be first, probably closer to my age, dude. I got the Q-tip looking here. Thanks for laughing at that. Wouldn't it be great to have Jesus say, great job, I saw how tough it was for you, but you never gave up? Wouldn't it be great? Well, first off, you have to believe. So let's bring this home. John chapter 3, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man's going to be lifted up. Well, what does that mean? Son of Man being lifted up in the book of John, chapter 12, verse 32, it says, Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Is that worship? Nope, has nothing to do with worship. Nothing. Zero directly to do with worship. John said the next verse, verse 33, Jesus was talking about the way, go ahead and put the next picture up here. Jesus was talking about the way he would die. The word lifted up means crucified in the book of John, written five times. Every time it's written, it means crucified. So when we lift up the name of Jesus, when we lift him up, he's on the cross. Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what happened. You know why? Because every one of us in this room, me more than most of you, have been snake bitten by a snake called sin. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the only chance we have of getting healed, watch it. I'll show you the definition of the word belief. It's not, oh yeah, sure, I believe. Why not? I want to go to heaven. It'd be stupid to want to go to hell. I had one guy say, I'd rather reign in hell than serve in heaven. I described hell to him. 20 minutes later, he said, okay, I don't want to go to hell. I said, I just walked away from him. He chased me and grabbed me. Oh, how do I get to heaven? Okay, I'll tell you. And he got saved. Preacher guy now. Let me just say this right now. Definition of the word belief. If you realize you've been bitten by a snake called sin and you want to believe in Jesus, it'll look something like, or maybe you have believed like that, radical change of life, because you were about to die and Jesus saved you. Maybe you have believed like that, but you've not been bringing other people to Christ. Let's bring it all together. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. That everyone who believes, everyone in the room who believes, everyone who believes, would not perish. Verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes should not forever, and I mean forever, and I mean forever, perish, but forever and forever and forever would spend eternity in glory. John 3:16, best verse in the Bible. If you know verse 14. Two invitations. Invitation number one, going to be for people in the room who want to believe like I've just demonstrated. I know you're probably going to be afraid of what other people think about you. I don't care. Please don't be afraid of what other people think about you. This is eternity. Put a rope around the world, 23,000 miles. Take the 1 foot of it, tape it with some duct tape. That 1 foot of it represents your entire life. The rest of the rope represents 1 second of eternity. And yet most of the decisions we make in our lives are based on that 1 foot. This decision is based on the rest of the rope. Let's be smart here. If you think there might be a chance that you haven't believed like you're supposed to, then this morning you need to believe. You need to say, Lord, I'm sorry about my sins. For the first time ever, I realize my sins are against you, and I'm sorry I've sinned against you, and I believe in you. I want you in my soul more than I want food, relationship, air. I want you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the definition of the word believe. It's not, oh yeah, sure, I believe. It's, I want that more than I want air. Please do me a favor. I've seen it before where I did this mega men's conference thing and 2/3 of the men wanted to get saved. I've seen it when people come to their senses. Please don't be afraid of what somebody else thinks. The second invitation is going to be for people in the room who have believed like we've demonstrated, like the scripture demonstrates. But you haven't been bringing people to Christ like you know you're supposed to. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I feel this same pain. I go, come on, just talk to the guy. Talk to the lady. Sometimes our fear just consumes us. It's time to deal with that this morning. Let's get in the game. Let's get in the game. Quarterback needs a little help. Can't win the game by himself. Let's pray. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that everybody in the room would believe and we wouldn't be sissies about it. Candy faces. We'd punch Satan right in the face, right in the mouth. And we'd be your men and your woe men for the king of the universe. I figure, Papa, the only way possible anything can happen great here is if you do it. I pray that we would all believe. So with your eyes closed and your heads bowed for just a second, in a few seconds we'll do the invitation with your eyes open and looking around. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed for just a second, how many of you would like to say, you know what, Lord? You would like to say to God, you know what? That's the way I want to believe, and I've never truly believed like that, and that's the way I want to believe. Would you raise your hand in the air? Let me see your hands. Raise them up high. Don't be afraid of what other people think. Please raise your hands up high. Let me see them. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3. Are you afraid to raise your hand up? You should be. You got bit by a snake. 2, 1. Good. Put your hands down. How many of you have believed like that, but you've not been bringing people to see Jesus? And you're sick of it, and you want to bring people to see Christ. You want to get in that game. Raise your hands in the air. Let me see. Raise them up high. Should be about all the rest of you. Raise your hands up high. Let me see your hands. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good. Lord, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to do here. Love you, Papa. You're the best in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Now, with your eyes open and eyes looking around, how many of you would like to say, you know what, Lord? That's the way I want to believe. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me saying this. The way I want to believe is what was demonstrated right there tonight, this morning. I want to believe like that. If that's you, if you want to believe in Jesus like what I've demonstrated with everything I've got, I'm sorry about my sins and I want to give you everything I am, then you stand up right now. Ready, go. Stand up right now. Don't be afraid of what other people think. Stand up right now. Hurry up. Stand up right now. Why would you hesitate? Stand up right now. Stand up right now. If that's the way you want to believe, stand up now. Come on down here to the front. Come on down here to the front. I ain't going to splash any chicken blood on you. I'm going to pray for you down here. Hurry up. Come on down here to the front. I don't know if y'all do it this way or not. I don't know. But come on down here. Hurry up. Take your time. Take your time. If you're scared to come down, that's cool. Bring some friends with you or something. I don't care. Come on down here to the front. I'm just going to pray right here with you at the front. And then I'm going to have the other people in the back do something. So come on down here to the front. Hallelujah. I know there's some more. This is weird. I don't ever have long invitations. We're almost out of time. I don't ever do long invitations. Anyway, I think there's more in here who want to believe like this. Stand up and come on down here. It's weird. I don't ever do long invitations. But I'm going to give you 10 more seconds to stand up and come down here. I'm sorry. I don't know who it is, but there's some people in the room who need to come down here. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6. My soul's about to burst. 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Good. All of you at the front, bow your heads right where you are. Tell Jesus in your own words what you think about your sins. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And tell Jesus you want to believe in him. Want to pour out your soul to him. There's a lady at the front here who has a shirt on that says, I was made for this. Exactly right. You were made for belief. So ask, tell the Lord you want to believe in him. Now, while they're praying, all of you in the back who have already believed like this, but you've not been bringing people to Christ like you know you're supposed to, and you want to get in that game, I want you to stand up right now. All the people who want to say, okay, God, I want to get in the game. I want to bring people to Christ like I know I'm supposed to. And I know what you're going to have in your soul, in your mind. You're going to have names come to your mind. I want you, while you're praying, first I want you to say, God, forgive me of my sins. I want to re-surrender myself to you. And then pray out loud the name of the person that you want to share Jesus with this week. This week, I dare you, triple dog. I'm going straight to the triple dog dare. I dare you to share Jesus with somebody this week. Take your collective fist and punch Satan right in the face. So right now, pray right where you are. Pray right where you are. Lord, I'm sorry about my sins. I want to re-believe in you fresh. And then call out the name of the person you want to lead to Christ. Call their first name out. I want to hear names like popcorn. Like popcorn. At the front here, we have cards. Pass the cards out. We have cards here at the front here. Just write the word up in the corner. We're going to follow you up. We're not going to leave you without follow. Fill out the card. Write the word believe up in the corner if that's what you did. Believe up in the corner of this card so the church will know how to follow you up, give you information. Like a newborn baby, you don't want to be set by a side. You want to have milk and food and be taken care of. This is the word of God. It's time for us to take the enemy's territory back. It's our town. Marion is our town. It's our town. It's not his. So you take it back. As you're filling it out, sing it out.